This goes to Dr. Sarvapalli, Sarvepalli, fax 866-419-3504. Regarding Betty, last name Martin, M like Mary, A-R-T-I-N, like November, date of birth 9/21/1943. Dear Dr. Sarvapalli, this is a consultation for Mrs. Martin, who was sent for evaluation of elevated creatinine levels noted in May of this year. She's an 81-year-old patient with a long history of COPD and heart disease, including paroxysmal atrial fibrillation and coronary artery disease. She's intolerant of statins. And also tried Repatha, 140 milligrams. She took injections every 2 weeks for three doses and then felt that the Repatha caused a severe increase in her shortness of breath. So she has stopped that medication. She also stopped her Eliquis because she was having profuse rectal bleeding, and she has notified her cardiologist about this. Instead, she's taking 81 milligrams of aspirin twice a day, hopefully to prevent clots secondary to paroxysmal atrial fibrillation. She is on oxygen continuously at this time and comes with an Inogen. It's I-N-O-G-E-N, oxygen delivery device to the appointment. And her sister accompanies her to this appointment. She was hospitalized in Alma from July 2nd to July 13th for hypoxic respiratory failure and paroxysmal atrial fibrillation. She is feeling better, but she is home with home care nurses and physical therapy at this time. Currently, she denies chest pain or palpitations. She does have chronic dyspnea at rest on exertion. She's oxygen dependent, and she has orthopnea and sleeps in a recliner. She's unable to lay flat to sleep for many years. She is an ex-smoker who quit back in 2000 and has not been exposed to secondhand smoke since that time. She denies nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia, no diarrhea, blood, or melena. She does have some edema of the lower extremities. That seems to be chronic. History of rectal bleeding also. And a history of CVA in 2000. Past medical history consists of severe coronary artery disease, hypertension, gastroesophageal reflux disease, hyperlipidemia, COPD requiring continuous oxygen, obstructive sleep apnea, type 2 diabetes, paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, fatty liver disease, congestive heart failure. Past surgical history, she had a right total hip replacement in 2021. She's had a history of colonoscopies, bilateral breast biopsies, negative for carcinoma, hysterectomy, right shoulder surgery, cholecystectomy. Social history, she is an ex-smoker who quit smoking in 2000. She occasionally consumes alcohol but denies illicit drug use. She is a widow and she lives alone. She is retired. Family history is significant for brain carcinoma, myocardial infarction, stroke, diabetes, hypertension, and COPD. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Physical exam, height is 61.5 inches, weight 210 pounds, pulse is 84, and regular blood pressure, left arm sitting large adult cuff, 110 over 82. Neck is supple. She has mild jugular venous distension bilaterally, no carotid pruries, no lymphadenopathy. Lungs have very diminished sounds and a prolonged expiratory phase throughout with some end expiratory wheezes. Heart is regular, and those sounds are also very distant. Abdomen obese, non-tender, no palpable masses, no ascites. Extremities, 2+ edema from toes halfway up each calf. And erythema noted in the ankle, just above the ankle area. Labs, drug allergies. She's allergic to penicillin, sulfa, Crestor, and Lipitor. Medications, Bisoprolol, 5 milligram twice a day. Baclofen is 5 milligram twice a day. Metformin, 500 milligrams, a half tablet once daily. Hydroxyzine, 25 milligram at bedtime if needed. Calcium with vitamin D once a day. Magnesium, 200 milligram daily. Valsartan is 40 milligram once daily. Aspirin, 81 milligram twice a day. Amarodione, 200 milligrams daily. Lasix, 40 milligram daily. Trelegy Ellipta, 100-62.5-25, one inhalation daily. Potassium chloride, 10 mil equivalents, two capsules twice a day. Nitroglycerin, 0.4 milligram, PRN chest pain. Metolazone is 2.5 milligram every other day. Synthroid, 75 microgram daily. Duoneb, she uses that per nebulizer at bedtime. And Keflex, 500 milligrams three times a day currently for pneumonia. And labs and diagnostic studies. Most recent lab studies were done July 28th, 2025. Creatinine has improved. It is 1.06 with estimated GFR of 53. By 2025, creatinine 1.18, GFR 46. February 3rd of 25, creatinine 0.75, GFR greater than 60. 2-1 of 24, creatinine 0.73 and a GFR greater than 60. 7-28-25, other labs include a calcium 8.9, normal electrolytes, albumin 3.7, AST and ALT both elevated at 50. hemoglobin is 13.6, normal platelets, and white count is 11.7. We have a microalbumin to creatinine ratio done May 20th, 25, and that is normal at 12. We also have a kidney ultrasound, which was done 6-10 of 25, which shows a slightly small right kidney, 9.5 centimeters with a small cyst. Left kidney, 9.9 centimeters, no apparent cysts, no hydronephrosis, no masses noted in either kidney, no evidence of bladder masses. We also have a CT scan of abdomen and pelvis with contrast done 7-7 of 25. And that shows a small, simple cyst in the right kidney and a slightly smaller simple cyst also in the left kidney. She did have a Foley catheter at that time also. And we have a transthoracic echocardiogram. That was done July 8th, 2025. She had a small, moderately hypertrophied left ventricle with moderately depressed systolic function, a normal-sized, severely hypertrophied right ventricle with normal systolic function. Ejection fraction was 28%, severely dilated left atrium, a possible left ventricular apical aneurysm was seen. She had mildly elevated pulmonary artery systolic pressure, and grade 2 diastolic dysfunction with evidence for elevated left atrial pressure. Assessment in plan 1, stage 3A, chronic kidney disease, most likely secondary to severe diastolic congestive heart failure and severe COPD. She's going to have lab studies done every 6 weeks. Next lab test will include a urinalysis and urine creatinine to protein ratio and also a parathyroid hormone. We discussed the possibility of trying the Velcro compression devices for her lower extremities when it gets a little cooler outside, as they're easier to apply and take off. And she will discuss that with you. She will continue her low-sodium diet, and she's following a 40-ounce and 24-hour fluid restriction. And she'll have a follow-up visit with this practice in 6 months. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.